Yesterday, Sayadawji explained that in practicing Satipatthana meditation, one should have sadha, faith, and confidence. Sadha, faith, and confidence is the most important role in the practice. Based on sadha, faith, and confidence, one practices systematically. As much one can practice, one will be removing hindrances. And by practicing completely, one will completely remove hindrances, and one will finally become arahat, totally eradicating all the defilements. And Sarojini explained that among the four noble truths, one should work on the first two satya, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering. Among these two, one should discern dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. By discerning dukkha satya distinctly, by noting every arising object that arises efficiently, by discerning dukkha satya, one will be removing tatna, craving, which is the cause of suffering. In this way, by discerning dukkha satya, the smudya, the origin of suffering, will be removed. So one should discern dukkha satya moment by moment, momentarily. By discerning dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, one will remove avidya, ignorance, not knowing. Removing avidya, ignorance, the tatna, craving, will also be removed, and upadana, clinging, will also be removed. One will be removing clinging with craving, clinging with wrong view. Clinging also will be removed momentarily. In this way, by discerning dukkha satya, avidya, ignorance, tatna, craving, and upadana, clinging, will come to a momentary cessation. By removing avidya, tatna, and upadana momentarily, akusala, unwholesomeness, has no chance to arise. Ordinary form of wholesome deed that leads to further existences will have no chance to arise. Not cultivating unwholesomeness, there will not be bad resultants. Not developing ordinary form of wholesomeness that leads to further existences, new existences will also be removed. In this way, vipakavata, the round of resultants, will come to a cessation momentarily. At the moment of discerning the dukkha satya, the wholesomeness that one is developing will be vivatagami kusala, the wholesomeness that leads to cessation. One is removing avidya, tatna, and upadana, ignorance, craving, and clinging, and thus kilesa vata, round of defilements, are coming to cessation momentarily, and one is realizing momentary cessation. There will be tadanga nirodha. One realizes momentary cessation. So by removing kilesa vata momentarily, one realizes momentary cessation. To analyze each of the noting, discerning dukkha satya. Discerning dukkha satya, analyzing that mind, there is sama vayama, right effort, asserting effort so that there will be sustained mindfulness on the object. Having sama vayama, right effort, effort does not give way for the defilements to arise, and thus the path of unwholesomeness will be blocked. Having sati, mindfulness, the defilements have no chance to arise, and thus the mind is prevented away from the defilements. The mind is free from the agitation of raga, dosa, as samadhi, concentration is present. So in each of these noting of discerning, there will be viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration. And they are called sama vayama, right effort, sama sati, right mindfulness, and sama samadhi, right concentration, which are three factors of samadhi khanda, three factors of concentration group. Having samadhi khanda, the concentration group, priyutana kilesa, obsessive defilements have no chance to arise, and thus priyutana kilesa, obsessive defilements, are calmed and suppressed. Noting the object with aim and effort, the person becomes skillful in noting, the noting becomes efficient, and one will be developing jhanic factors. There will be samma sangappa, right application of the mind on the object, the mind being aimed and directed onto the object. And when there is samma samadhi, when the mind falls calm and collected on the object, one comes to discern dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. One discerns the nama rupa, cause and effect, and the characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. Discerning is sammāditti, right view. And together with sammāsaṅkappa, right application, it makes up two factors of paññākhandā, the wisdom group. At the moment, one develops paññākhandā, the wisdom group, one removes latent, dormant defilements by weakening latent dormant defilements. So in this way, by noting the object, by noting the dukkha satya, by discerning it, there are three factors of samadhi khanda, the samadhi group, and two factors of paññā khanda, two factors of wisdom group. So there is panchangika, five factors of the path that leads to Nibbana, and it is called Pubbhāpāgamagga, preliminary path. As a yogi, there is no refraining, but one restrains one's senses, eye, ears, nose, tongue, body. In this way, there will be samvara sīla, morality in the form of restraint. There is also cetana sīla, the volition to refrain. And thus there are the sammāvācā, right speech, sammākammaṇḍa, right action, and sammāājīva, right livelihood. As a yogi, the person refrains from talking unless it is necessary. And when yogi talks, yogi has to talk truthfully, and yogi also have friendly talk. And also, the livelihood will be Right. So in this way, the three factors of sila maganga, the three factors of morality, samavaja, right speech, samagamanta, right action, and samajiva, right livelihood, are present. And together with the three factors of samadhi khanda, two factors of panya khanda, and three factors of sila, there will be eight factors of the path. So in each and every noting of discerning, there will be all these three trainings, sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom. There will be these three groups, sila khanda, morality group, samadhi khanda, concentration group, and panya khanda, panya group. So there will be discerning, removing, realizing, and developing. By discerning dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, by being mindful, one is removing tatna, craving, and thus one is abandoning smudya, the origin of suffering. And also, one is realizing momentary cessation when avijja, tatna, and upadana, ignorance, craving, and clinging, are momentarily ceased. And in the noting, there are the eight factors of the Bodhipagamaka preliminary path. So in this way, one also develops the path. In this way, by discerning the dukkha satya, one abandons what should be abandoned, one realizes the momentary cessation, as well as one develops the path. It is four at a blow. By discerning dukkha satya, one automatically fulfills the other three truths. And by fulfilling sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom, one is removing gross, medium, and refined form of defilements. Gross, medium, and refined form of defilements are removed by the practice of morality, concentration, and wisdom. That's why each and every noting is very precious. That's why yogis need to note every arising object so that the noting mind will be concurrent with the object. The noting will be efficient so that one will be cultivating sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom every single second. Cultivating sila, samadhi, panya every single second, one is making profit in the practice. But instead, if the yogi is taking easy in the practice, there will be a loss. Even though one has morality, but practicing in a flippant way, in an easygoing manner, the person is losing to cultivate samadhi and panya, concentration and wisdom. So if the person is lacking mindfulness for multiple seconds or for many minutes, there will be many minutes of losing. So it is very important to make profit in the practice as a true yogi. So that's why Saraji has been encouraging the yogis to practice respectfully, meticulously, thoroughly. But some of the yogis, they consider that the rules are very strict. Actually, Saraji say, it is not his rules, it is the rules in accordance with the teachings of the Buddha in the practice. So they are strict rules not to give trouble, but these rules are strict so that the person can practice to purify themselves so that it will be very beneficial for them. So there are these disciplines so that one can practice in order to uplift oneself. So it is very important to practice accurately, precisely to these disciplines and instructions. They are disciplined so that the person can practice in order to keep oneself proper in body, speech, and mind. So it is very important to follow these guidance, instruction, and the discipline. And the siddhas will take care that the yogis practices in strict discipline. If they cannot take it, then it is up to them, but the siddhas will do what they can to keep the strict discipline. And yogis need to practice according to these discipline and instructions. Buddha taught the Dhamma in order to bring benefits. Dhamma is the definite guidance and instruction in order to bring benefit. And in the practice, it is very important to keep discipline. And Vinaya is the discipline so that one can practice accordingly. Dhamma and the Vinaya, the definite guidance and instruction, and the discipline taught by the Buddha is the true culture. So it is very important to practice in order to gain the true culture. So it is very important to practice accordingly. The three rounds, kilesa vata, the round of defilements, gamma vata, the round of good and bad deeds, and vipaka vata, the round of resultants, are arising continuously, keep on rotating as cause and effect without a stop. And the rotation of these three rounds are called bhava. The definition of bhava means bhavati, upajjatiti bhavo, meaning that the three rounds are keep on rotating continuously as cause and effect without a stop. The old giving rise to new, and there are new and new assistances. So in life, if avijja and tanha, if ignorance and craving are removed, there will not be anything left. Avijja, ignorance, means not knowing correctly, knowing wrongly. Tanha is the craving to see good things, craving to hear good sounds, craving to smell good fragrance, the craving to taste good flavor, and the craving for good touch. And by getting what they want, the person will want more and more. There is no such thing that tanha, craving, will get less, but instead the tanha, craving, increase more and more by getting what they want. In order to get something the person wants, the person do things, and if the person do things with the bad intention, the bad volition, that will be unwholesome deed. Even if the person does wholesome deed, such kind of wholesomeness leads to more assistances and there will be more suffering. Doing unwholesome deeds, it is poisonous, just like eating poisonous food. Doing wholesome deeds, it is like taking suitable food, but these wholesomeness in body, speech, and mind lead to more existences. Having more existences, the three rounds, the three kinds of vata, the three rounds will continue to rotate, and there will be new and new existences. And if avijja and tanha, ignorance and craving is removed, there will be nothing left. And in order to remove avijja and tanha, ignorance and craving, one should be mindful of every arising object in order to discern. By discerning correctly, there will not be knowing wrongly, ignorance, avijja is removed. Not discerning, there can be attachment and craving. By discerning, craving, tatna will also be removed. In this way, by noting and by discerning, one removes avijja and tanha, ignorance and craving. Removing avijja and tanha, ignorance and craving, new existences will also be stopped. If there is kamma bhava, good and bad deeds, there will be resultants. By removing kamma bhava, good and bad deeds, Vipakavata, round of resultants, will also come to a stop. Seeing the flaws of existence, one should be mindful of the nama rupa, so that discerning the dukkha satta, one will be removing avijja and tanha. So in order to discern the nama rupa, one should note every arising object with effort so that there will be sustained mindfulness. Having sustained mindfulness, one discerns dukkha satta, the truth of suffering. Not discerning, there will be craving, but discerning, craving will be removed. When avijja tanha is removed, when ignorance and craving is removed, good and bad deeds will not arise, and thus there will not be new existences. That's why it is said that removing avijja and tanha, there will be nothing left. When it is said there is nothing left, it means that the sufferings connected with existences will totally be removed.
ဝိဇာတဏအရေးကြီးဆုံးပြုတ်နေတော့တဲ့အခြေအနေဖြစ်ရတာဟာအရင်ကမြဖြားခံရတာကတတတရားပဲယုံကြည်မှုပဲဘုရားမပွင့်ခင်ကလည်းဘုရားပွင့်ခါစားမှာဆိုရင် သူတို့တရားမြုပ်ကိုမယုံကြည်ဘူးအိန္ဒိယတနင်္ဂနွေလုံးမှာဆိုလို့ရှိရင်ជីវအတ္တအစွဲနဲ့ပရမတ္တအစွဲကလွှမ်းမိုးထားတယ်သို့သောသူတို့မှာထူးခြားတာကတော့ကောင်းတာပြီကောင်းကျိုးရတတ်တယ်ဆိုးတာပြီဆိုးရတတ်တယ်ဆိုတဲ့ကမ္မစကတာစမာတိရှိတယ်သူတို့ကရှိတယ်သို့သောជីវအတ္တအစွဲရှိတယ် ပရမတ္တအစွဲဖန်ဆင်းရှင်ကြီးတွေသူတို့လက်ခံတာပဲတစ်ဖက်ကလည်းပဲကံနဲ့ကံကြီးကိုလက်ခံတာခွောက်တဲ့ဝါရဘောလေးရှိခဲ့တယ်ဒီတော့ဖန်ဆင်းရှင်အစွဲကအာကြီးနေတဲ့ပုဂ္ဂိုလ်တွေဆိုတော့သူတို့အာကိုတဲ့ဘုရားကြီးဘောလေးမဟာပြမကြီးမဟာပြမကြီးကလာပြီးတော့တူးထောက်တရား ခေါ်ဖို့ရပေါ်ဒီပိုင်ကြတဲ့အခါကျမှသူတို့ဆရာကြီးရတော်မှာဗုဒ္ဓရဲ့ရှေ့မှာတူထောက်ပြီးတော့ယူတည်ပြုနေရတယ်ဆိုတဲ့အတိအလေးတွေရသွားတာအဲဒီကစပြီးတော့အိန္ဒိယမှာမဟာဗျာမပူဝဲတဲ့ပုဂ္ဂိုလ်တွေဗုဒ္ဓပဲလှည့်လာတာမြင်ရတယ
် In order to remove avijja and tanha ignorance and cravingremoval of vijja and tanha ignorance and craving originates from sadda faith and confidence before buddha attained enlightenment people did not believe in the dhamma in india there were beliefs in jiva atta the individual soul and brahma atta supreme soulAnd they also believe that good deeds bring good results, bad deeds bring bad results. So in India, people had the belief in Jiva Atta and Brahma Atta, the soul, individual soul and the supreme soul, as well as the belief in the karma and the karma resultant. So they had this dual belief. And they...relied on the creator, the Mahabrahma, the creator. When Buddha attained enlightenment, Mahabrahma knelt down to request Buddha to teach. Seeing the Mahabrahma kneeling down to Buddha to request to teach, the followersof Mahabrahma develop faith and confidence in the Buddha. So when a person is respected, being honored and respected, and when that respected person kneel down to request, his followers develop faith and confidence.Seeing that the Mahabrahma that they took refuge in had to kneel down before Buddha, so Buddha must be greater than their teacher. In this way, they develop faith and confidence in the Buddha, and they listen to the Dhamma. And those followers who believed in the Atta,gradually became interested in the Dhamma and they built up sadda, faith and confidence. Saraji explains about Atta. In Pali, it is called Atta. In Sanskrit, it is called Atama. And they believe that the Atta is Jnanadikaranamata, where the knowledge dwells.Sa, du, vi, do, there are two kinds of atta, jiva atta, individual soul, and brahma atta, the supreme soul. Tatrisaro, meaning the brahma atta, the supreme soul, governs the whole world, and sabanyu, brahma atta,governs the whole world, that everything or everyone has to follow according to the control of the Brahma Atta, Supreme Soul. Sabanyu, meaning the Brahma Atta, knew everything that should be known. Eko Eva, meaning there is one and only Brahma Atta, Supreme Soul.Sukha Dukha Rahito, meaning the Brahma Atta, Supreme Soul, does not have happiness or sadness. And it is said that the Supreme Soul has no definite form or shape. And they believe that the Supreme Soul governs and controls everything, new things,everything that should be known, there is no two there is only one. Free from happiness and sadness. The other type, jiva atta, is the individual soul. It is a pati sarira, meaning each and every being has jiva atta, individual soul. And beno, the individual soul differs from one being to another, meaning that a being with a small being will have small atta, a big being will have big atta. For example, an ant will have small atta, an elephant will have big atta. And they believe that the atta is atta controls seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Vibhu, meaning seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, is done by the atta. Nechocha means it is permanent. Even though the body perishes, but the atta will move on to the next existence. So Buddha gained enlightenment in the era where people believed in the jiva atta and brahma atta. So people who believed in the atta had a lot of raga, dosa, and moha, lust, anger, and delusion. So seeing the situation, seeing the circumstances that people had great raga, dosa, moha, having the belief of atta, and the Dhamma being profound, it will not be easy for the Dhamma to spread. And Buddha had this slight idea of not teaching. When Buddha had a slight idea of not teaching, the Mahabrahma came to the Buddha. Mahabrahma approached the Buddha, kneeling, to request to teach. And Satipatthana practice were not practiced, people did not have the chance to discern the Nama Rupa. Not having the chance to discern the Nama Rupa, they believe in Jiva Atta, individual soul, and Brahma Atta, the supreme soul. They believe that the Brahma Atta, supreme soul, creates animate and inanimate things. And they believe that the Mahabrahma is permanent. And they also believe that the beings, the individual soul that have been created by the Supreme Soul, are also permanent. Buddha attained enlightenment in the era where people had been believing in the Atta. The belief of these Atta were deeply seated in the beings, in the people. When Buddha attained enlightenment, Buddha himself practiced Satipatthana meditation, and Buddha discerned that there is only Nama Rupa, mentality and materiality. And Buddha discerned that things are happening as cause and effect. Relative cause giving rise to relevant effect. There is no place for creator. There is no place for jiva atta. Discerning the nama rupa, cause and effect, relative cause giving rise to relevant effect, there is no place that there is creator. There is no place for jiva atta. But people are believing in the jiva atta and brahma atta, that these atta exist. Practicing Satipatthana meditation, one discerns the nama rupa as well as cause and effect, relevant cause giving rise to relevant effect. Discerning thus, one comes to know that there is no creator. What really arises are just cause and effect that arise at one moment and pass away at another moment. They are the characteristics impermanent suffering and non-self. As things are impermanent and suffering, there is nothing good. There is no atta involved. There is anatta, non-self. Buddha practiced Satipatthana meditation, and Buddha taught what Buddha had discerned. Buddha discerned everything that should be known, and Buddha taught what Buddha had discerned. So it is very important to have faith and confidence. Discerning nama rupa distinctly, one will come to know that there is no jiva atta. If the person does not discern nama rupa, one believes in jiva atta, something that does not really exist. Not discerning cause and effect, one believes in wrong causes, that seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching are done by the atta. Discerning cause and effect, discerning that relevant cause give rise to relevant effect, the belief of creator will be removed. One removes the belief in creator as one discerns that relevant cause give rise to relevant effect. Buddha came to existence in order to teach the truth, and Buddha attained enlightenment in the era where people had strong misconduct. Seeing that people had lots of misconduct, being deluded, Buddha had a slight idea of not teaching for some seconds, and Mahabrahma approached the Buddha, kneeling down to teach. Seeing the Mahabrahma kneeling down to Buddha, requested to teach, his followers became interested and developed sadha, faith and confidence. And tomorrow, Sharaji will explain that the Mahabrahma that the people think as permanent, why the Mahabrahma has a very long lifespan, and Sharaji will explain tomorrow.